Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Well, today I had a whole thing planned, and circumstances, obviously beyond my control, sort of changed things. And so today's show, rather than being the interview that I had lined up and the next one that I had lined up next week, everything's been bumped up a week. There was a passing in my family, and since I spend so much time talking about the other side and getting messages and your loved ones always being there, even though they've passed physically, I wanted to share my experience from my viewpoint. I think that's only fair. It was not necessarily a huge surprise, but I'll just tell you the story. So basically what happened is, as most of you all know, a few months ago, I moved back from Texas, and just as I moved back in, my grandfather started having some health problems. And, you know, coming from the higher place, I knew I'm not here just because of the reason I think I'm here. You know, I'm not here because things didn't work in one place and I've got nothing else to do but come back home. This was for a purpose. And so things had gone on for a while, a few months. He was better, then he was worse. He was better, then he was worse. Ultimately, he had cancer, and that is basically how he passed. So what I'll say is not going to be too long. I only have a half an hour here, but I want to share the important points about this past week. Because I am a medium, because I'm able to, I have this connection with the other side, people assume that I know everything, and that's really not the way it is. And specifically for me, in my experience, the way that my gift works, I have to be a bridge. If there's nobody there for me to make a bridge in between, my gift is not doing its job. So when it comes to things like trying to get information about people or any of that, unless the information is useful to me, it won't be given to me. I'm not allowed by the guides that I have, and the integrity that I have, both will not allow me to just have a, how can I put this, almost to be like a peeping Tom into people's minds. That's just not who I am. It's just not what I'm about. But this pertained to me. So last Friday, my grandfather kind of started to get worse again, and it was pretty bad. I mean, it seemed like he was hallucinating a little bit. There were like erratic body movements that we were just afraid. We didn't know what was going on. We took him to the hospital. They could not figure out what was wrong. On Saturday, I went with my mom to the hospital, and we found him in the same state. And the first time he got sick, when I got into the hospital, I was by myself in the room with him, and he was asleep for a while. And I did see a lot of spiritual activity. But when I connected, they basically told me that I could see who they were. They were his friends, like all of his friends who had passed. He has a lot of friends. He was a World War II vet, so his army buddies were like really important to him and really close to him. So basically they were there to kind of sort of help him through it. They knew it was going to be a hard time for him, and they were helping him through it. That was basically what I got. And I was fine with that. I was satisfied with that. I was happy. This time when I went in, it wasn't the same. This time when I went in there, I knew there was something more happening. And it scared me, because for the first time in my life, I was in a situation like this, but also with that expanded awareness that I didn't know what was happening. So basically, when we were there for a little while, my mom was with me. She had gone out to talk to the nurse, and you all know that I'm a minister. I knew that things were happening, that he was surrounded by the loved ones that had come to basically help him cross. So I gave him his blessing. You know, I was taught by my teacher how to do this. I did it in his tradition. He was Catholic. You know, I would never try to do anything in another faith for a person of a different faith. So I sent him blessings, and I asked for, you know, him to have a peaceful crossing and to feel no pain and just to go. And the next day is basically when he passed. Nobody really thought that he was going to go that next day. The same thing kind of happened with my grandmother. Like, they just did not think she was going to go. So, yeah, it was really hard. But when I got that phone call, I didn't know what to think. You know, I thought, what am I, you know, what's going on? Like, what do I do? This has never happened. I've never been an adult when someone has passed in my family. The last time someone passed my family that was close, I was a little kid. There was nothing for me to do. But this time, you know, I have my mom who has impaired vision, and I needed to do things. I needed to get her phone book, make some phone calls, you know, get down to the hospital. And I found myself in this position that I didn't ever expect to be in. It was really kind of jarring for me. But I walked in, and I took care of what I needed to take care of. Now, this is the mediumship part of this experience. Basically, I was upset, but at the same time, I was so focused on my mother needed me that it was almost a moot point. It was like shock. So on the way to the hospital, because, you know, I was driving down there, I had thought everybody was already there. I didn't realize that my mom and my dad and my brothers and everything weren't there yet. So I'm down there, and I was like, you know what? I need to check in. I need to see if he's there. You guys got to realize I'm doing this all day long, mostly for myself. I don't do it, you know, unless someone asks me, I don't try to intuit information for other people. And all of a sudden, I could hear him. I could hear him, like, saying people's names in my family. And so I called out to him. You know, mentally I called out to him because at first I didn't believe it. I thought, no, this is too soon. I shouldn't be able to hear him yet. And he said my name, and he said, you can hear me? And I said, yes, I can hear you. And like I tell you guys, you always think it's going to be something profound, and it's usually not. It's usually something really simple. And basically what he told me was that he was not pleased with the people at the hospital because they had not put his teeth back in his mouth before he left. When he left, that's the way he put it, before I went. And it made me laugh. And, you know, so here I am driving to the hospital, and I'm crying and laughing at the same time. And I know he's okay. Like, it's so hard to explain. When you know something, it's completely different from when you believe something. You believe in the hopes that it's real. When you know something, it is a complete reality for you. And I knew it. I knew he was, my grandmother is always there. I always can sense her. And I knew she had him. I knew that they were together and she was going to help him, you know, with his orientation and to try to make him comfortable. And I felt so much better after that. And it sounds really strange because it's such an upsetting event, but that small bit of his personality, that was him before he got sick, and that was so like him, you know? He was the type of guy that he didn't ever talk about his feelings. He never really talked about anything like that. Even if you put a plate in front of him, you'd ask him how it was, he'd be like, it's all right. You know, man of few words. Loved country music, loved polka music, good time guy, you know? So I get to the hospital, and like I said, I kind of helped take control of things because everybody else was so broken. You know, my first thought was, I have to be strong for my family. I have to do this. And I did. I took care of whatever needed to be done. And I was just amazed at how the whole process worked. From there, you know, the week was just long, trying to figure things out, trying to go through paperwork, trying to make arrangements for things. And, you know, just even just looking through some of the things that he had, old pictures. It's funny because sometimes you don't know what's important to somebody until they're gone. and you go and you see, oh, look at this. I never realized he had this little picture right next to, you know, where he sat every day and drank his coffee. So you know, this was super important to him. Yeah, so it's been really hard. And I knew that I was going to have to do something. I needed to pay some kind of tribute to him. So I didn't realize that girls could be pallbearers, and I did. I was a pallbearer. That was extremely hard, very, very hard. You could see, you know, the hurt in my face as I was walking down. It was just, it was so emotional. And I actually gave his eulogy. And I had decided early on, if I was going to speak about my grandfather, I was going to speak about who he was. I wasn't going to do this whole somber, and no offense to any of the Christian people, but I wasn't going to Jesus it up. The guy wasn't religious. He had a couple of things, you know, just St. Jude cards, you know, a prayer card, and, you know, he had rosary beads. What Italian doesn't have rosary beads, you know? What Italian Catholic doesn't have rosary beads? You're forced to have them, you know? But he wasn't, you know, super religious. I wanted to capture the essence of who he was, and that was it. And I walked up there, and I delivered that eulogy, and I shared the things about him that were great, you know, the way that every Christmas Eve he would say, let's open the presents in the middle of dinner while we were all supposed to be sitting down behaving ourselves as kids. And he'd get us completely crazy. And then my mother would rile, you know, get us all settled down again. Another 15 minutes, he'd do it again. And it was like, this was who he was. He liked to be a pain in the ass. He liked to be a troublemaker. It was fun for him. And that was who he was. He played cards. You know, he was Mr. I'm going to Las Vegas, Atlantic City. Just for fun, not because he had any kind of like weird addiction problem. It just was fun for him. He never bet very much, and he never really won anything. But it was just the fun of it, the excitement of it. And he loved the Old West. That was like another super trademark thing of my grandfather. Loved the Old West. Has tons and tons of John Wayne movies. All, I don't even know who half of these people are in these movies. They're so from another time. But that was what he connected with. And when he was a young kid, he was in the Army. And it was that time. It was that golden time, 1945, World War II. My grandmother was so beautiful back then. She was, you know, the classic look of the time, you know, the smooth skin with the red lips and the hair done up just in that right, you know, 1940 style. And my grandfather with his uniform. I mean, some of the photos are just, they're amazing. And it was that time, that time when people had hope for the future, and they still believed in romance. There was no swearing on television. There was no, my grandfather really embodied that time. And there actually is a letter that I found that he wrote to my grandmother while he was somewhere stationed. And it's the sweetest thing you'll ever see. I mean, so sweet. It said basically, no matter, you know, even though we're far away, you're in my heart today, or something like that. And he had drawn this heart with the, you know, little, I don't know, he used to draw, I guess. He like put two little silhouettes of them in the middle, and it was the sweetest thing ever. And, you know, of all the things that I'm grateful for having him in my life, for all the fun that he brought us, right now, I'm super grateful that he's back with my grandmother, because my grandmother died 29 years ago. That is a long time. And he was never the same after she passed. I just knew she was ready for him. I knew. And I'll share another little kind of really personal, but I want to really illustrate to you guys that I walk my talk. I mention a lot of animal type signs, and I tell you, you know, pay attention, because sometimes this really is something. Well, I kept seeing a robin, maybe not the same robin, but I kept seeing this robin, and I thought, why do I keep seeing robins? I don't connect with anything that a robin represents right now, so I don't understand it. But I continued to acknowledge it, because that's what you do. So I acknowledged it, and basically, one day I went to the cemetery to go visit my grandmother. As I told you guys, I go there because it's quiet and I can have some peaceful time and just talk with her. All of a sudden, as I'm walking towards the stone, this little robin comes right bobbing from, like literally from right behind the stone. And I knew that's what that was. That was my grandmother. That was her sign to me that she was around. For whatever reason, when my grandmother gives a sign, she doesn't like me to know what she's doing. I don't know why. Yes, I can talk to her, but when she does these little things, it's fun for her, and she likes to see me, like, discover them. So she will just tell me only so much, and then I'll be like, what else? And it's like crickets, you know? She likes it. This is what she does. As the week went on, this is like the week before my grandfather passed. As the week went on, I started to kind of like, you know, realize, okay, this is my grandmother. One morning I got up, I looked out the back window into my family's backyard, and I saw two robins. I could tell one was a male, one was a female by their coloring. And one of them had, I think it was the male, had like a bunch of twigs or mulch or something in his beak. And I knew exactly what it meant, that she was getting ready to prepare him for him to come home. She was rebuilding the nest, and she was ready for him to come home. I didn't really say anything to anyone because it's really upsetting for people when all this is going on, and there was no place for it. It was sort of like an acknowledgement to me that everything is going okay. You don't have to worry. We're ready for him. He's going to be fine. And, you know, that is the power of these signs, you guys. That's why I tell you, pay attention. It's in the most subtle things that you don't think or anything. But you kind of have to, I got to tell you, if you don't do the meditation and you don't learn to quiet your mind and still your thoughts, it's really difficult to get to this kind of a place where you have that shift in consciousness and you become aware of these subtle things. I have always kind of had an expanded awareness, but I couldn't manage it or control it. It always overwhelmed me, and people thought I was antisocial for the longest time because, you know, I would shy away from big crowds. For me, everything was 100% magnified all the time. It wasn't until I started meditating and actively participating in this process that I learned how to work with it. And you have to get to know yourself. It's like anything else. You can ask other people, you can see what they do, but when you do it for yourself is the only time that you're ever going to really know what works for you. I don't even know what I can compare it to, anything. Everyone does everything. Anything that you think is universal across the board is different for every single person. Take something stupid like nutrition. How many different nutritionists are out there? They all have their own variation on what does what. It's the same thing. It's all nutrition, but they all have a spin on it and what, you know, what you're supposed to take and what you're not supposed to take. It's the same thing with this kind of a gift. It's just another aspect of ourselves. And if it's something you want to develop, you really need to take the time to put into it. And a lot of it is isolation, to just be with yourself. It's really important. There are a number of, you know, indigenous tribes that when there is a person who has somewhat of a gift, that person has to go through a lot of things, a lot of initiations and almost like just endurance trials to prove that, you know, they can get through this, because it really is a difficult path. Luckily for myself, I haven't had that much tragedy in my life, and I'm grateful for that. But, you know, no matter who you are, you do have a path, and you can't compare it to anybody else's. It's always going to be uniquely yours. There's not two people on this planet who have identical paths. Although a lot of us are similar, a lot of us can relate to one another through our experiences, but we're all unique. So that's kind of my story about what has happened, you know, what I've been dealing with, how I really wanted to illustrate how having this expanded awareness has helped me get through this time. As collected as y'all may think I am, this is hard for me. It's very hard to get up and say those words at church, you know, to walk down the aisle beside my grandfather's casket. Very, very hard. And I'm going to add another dimension to it, is I'm so empathic. And I deny this a lot. I'm like, no, I'm emotional. It's all me. It is not me. I know now without a doubt, from dealing with the different people I've been dealing with all week, family members, extended family members, the funeral director, everything. As soon as I entered into a person's energy field that was having a strong emotion, no matter what it was. I felt it immediately, and I thought, wow, I never realized how much information I get all day long just from being around people, emotional information. The empathic ability that I have is so strong. It's always been my strongest ability. But I was shown that this week, you know, just through by virtue of what we all kind of went through. So he's up there with my grandmother now. And I know they're together. I know they're dancing. And I've already had a couple of other signs that kind of... My grandfather was super big into music. One of the memories I have of him is, you know, him with his newspaper and his coffee on a Sunday morning, like, listening to polka music. He loved polka music, and he actually could polka. I mean, he did a mean polka. I remember being little and watching him and thinking, wow, that is some crazy dancing. I mean, you think what we do is crazy in the modern times. They had some crazy dances back then. And, he was so heavily into the music that now when I'm receiving information and I know he's around, what'll happen is a song will pop into my head. And, one of them is a polka that I don't even know where the heck I heard it, when he played it. I mean, he has literally hundreds of these things. He has records. I don't know how old they are. And I'll hear it, and I'm like, why am I'm hearing this in my head? And it's like he's trying to let me know he's good. He is good. He wasn't an emotional guy. I wouldn't have known he was in a good mood or happy unless he was playing his polka music. That's how he was. So I hear that. A couple of times I've seen either the title of the song or heard the song somewhere, You Are My Sunshine. He had one version of it that he played a lot by Gene Autry. And when I was a real little girl, my parents had bought this organ because my dad knew how to play the organ. He knew how to play the accordion, whatever. We're Italian. That's what we do. And I had the little music book, and I started to learn how to play these songs by ear. And one of the ones in the book was You Are My Sunshine. And I remember him going through the book and then singing that song to me. You know, I haven't thought about that in years, but this is kind of what happens when, in my experience, when someone passes, all of a sudden these memories come up out of nowhere that you didn't even remember for years. They just kind of come to the surface, and it's your loved ones are able to kind of energetically pop into your mind and pull those memories up as a way of showing you that they're not gone, you know? And the affection that you had for them doesn't have to end. It's just not in the physical world anymore. I always urge people, please talk to your loved ones. Talk to them. They're not gone. They're there, and it's like when you talk to them, it just makes them so happy because you're acknowledging their presence. And they want to be part of your life. They're still going to be there watching you and helping you in ways that I can't even explain from where they are, bringing people your way, or helping you to notice something so that you go in a certain direction. Just there's things that they can do there that they could never have done for you here. So I'm not saying pray to them like a god, but the same way you're going to call up your mom when, you know, something happened to your car and you need to know what to do, who do I go to, you can still refer to them the same way. They're just in a different place. You know, it's like you have a decision to make, or you're thinking about someone and you're not sure about them. And I don't know about this guy. What do you think? You know, just mentally asking your head, what do you guys think? What do you think, Grandma? I ask my grandmother stuff like that all the time, and I get an immediate response. I did it this morning. When you do it over and over and over again, you get better at it, you know? First time you cooked something, I bet it was difficult. But then after you do it a few times, you don't even need to look at the ingredients anymore. It's just an automatic, and you can do it. It's all about practice. So that's basically what I want to talk about today. Like I said, it's only fair. I talk to you guys all the time about honoring your loved ones in spirit and, you know, when they pass, how it's difficult, but that someone is there to receive them and they're okay. They're in good hands. There's very few things that I can say you have to worry about when it comes to them passing. It's all the physical stuff that you really, really got to, you know, sit there and think about. And that stuff's not easy either. But grief is something that we all have to go through at one time or another. The loss of a pet, the loss of a job, the loss of, you know, a place where we once lived that we need to move out of. It's a human emotion that is there for a reason. It's there for you to let it flow through you. It's there for you to cleanse yourself of what's happening. You know, the same way that rainwater washes things away, your tears will help to relieve your grief. It's part of the process. So grieve alone, grieve with other people, go to a grief counselor, but please don't hold it all in. It's so unhealthy. It's self-destructive. And things will happen that as a result of you doing that, that you will not be happy with later. It can cause health problems. It's definitely going to cause relationship problems. It's unprocessed stuff. So, you know, like I always say, I'm a big proponent of people taking responsibility for their own stuff. Your grief is part of your stuff. I would consider him a friend, although we're not in touch very regularly, who wrote a book called Never Letting Go. His name is Mark Anthony. He's referred to as the psychic lawyer. If you know someone who's dealing with the loss of a loved one, I would recommend that book. It's a good book, and it can help you a lot. The other one that I would recommend is the Lisa Williams book, Survival of the Soul. There's some information in that book that you won't find in other books. And I will tell you from my heart, Lisa Williams is one of the most genuine, loving, responsible people in this area of work, in this body of work. When she tells you something, you can believe it. I have absolute faith in what she says, because I can just from an intuitive standpoint, I know she's coming from the right place with it. So, Survival of the Soul. It's her latest book, actually. And there are just a number of really good books out there that can help you. The one that started it all for me was the George Anderson book, We Don't Die. And that's what started my journey into all of this, like maybe 20 years ago now. You know, I was so young. So I'm just going to wrap the show up and thank you all for being here and for listening to me today. And I hope that some of what I said is either relatable or helps you or someone that you know in some way. We're all connected. We're all here together because we're here to help one another and we're here to support one another. So I thank you for allowing me to share my story with you. And I look forward to going back to the regular schedule next week, and I will have Lori Bruno here on the show with me. Walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste. Thank you.